Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
Welcome to iMother Podcast.
Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
My name is Silja Nikolina Runestadter Kvalheim, and I am your host. iMother Podcast is a fellowship for and by women to share wisdom, experiences, and resources around birth and motherhood, and about resurrecting the soul after times of darkness. iMother is a term that derived in Sapmi, about traditional midwives and medicine women. A woman who could look into the souls of birthing women and hold space for her. She was a guide into the unknown in both birth as well as death, a priestess of transformations of the soul. I am a mother, birth worker, and light worker, and my sole work on this planet is to help women in and after birth to be wild and true and own their bodies and their stories. By sharing our wisdom and our stories, I believe we create a world for our children where women are supported, empowered, and held. In the background, you're hearing Mari Boina, together with Madosini. Welcome to iMother. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 8 of iMother Podcast. I'm so excited to finally be offering you this episode. For months now, I've been deep diving into Rochelle's postpartum care wisdom, and this work really ignites me. I'm so eager to be sharing this with you, finally. Today in the intro for the show, you might have noticed two things that have changed. The first one being that I did the intro in English. I decided that when doing interviews in English, I might as well do the whole episode in English, so that when you do find yourself listening, that you understand everything that's being offered. And second, my name is no longer Silje Mikaela Kvalheim, but Silje Nikolina Runestadter Kvalheim. And the name is like music in my ears. I have been waiting for this change to land into my life for a few weeks now, and I'm very excited to state to the universe and into the land and the waters and the wind and the trees and the four-leggeds and the creeper crawlers that my name is Silje Nikolina Runestadter Kvalheim. The wish to change my name has evolved over the past year, and as my life and myself and my healing process have shifted and changed, I have felt the need to remove my middle name, Michaela, which I gave to myself when I was about 12 years old. This name did not feel like mine anymore. Through this work of healing trauma and reconnecting with nature and my family on the other side, and especially my maternal line, I have gained so much knowledge and wisdom. I feel a much greater belonging, a sense of connectedness and gratitude. My great-great-grandmother's name was Olga Nikolina. She was a mother of 8 children and birthed them all in her home. I have been receiving her wisdom and some of her life experiences through images and dreams and feelings coming through me. Not only hers, but also of my great-grandmother and grandmother, as well as my father. This has been so huge and at times overwhelming, and also such a huge feeling of love and honor and gratitude of being me. I strongly believe one of the grandest work we do on this planet as mothers is while nurturing our children, we nurture ourselves and face our roots and lineages. Through facing our lineages, we heal ourselves and heal the relations past as well as in future. This is painful work, really demanding work. And I speak from experience, not from reading a book, that it is possible to reconnect with people that are no longer with us and to harvest their wisdom. And this reconnection, this space where time ceases to matter, is really a place of truth. For 3 months now, I have been sitting in circle and sharing space with 60 women across the world, with midwives and wise women, birth workers, light workers, and with my mentor and teacher, Rochelle Saliga Garcia. If you would have asked me 6 months ago if I were to start studying postpartum care, I would mostly likely reply with a void. The whole process started with me listening to Medicine Stories, a podcast with Amber Magnolia Hill, which I really recommend, who did an interview with Rochelle. I remember myself listening very strongly still, as it felt like a deep resonance in my bones, listening to her. Rochelle was speaking so nakedly, personally, and with such a strong fire about her work helping women. With tears and a fierce voice, she was stating that we have come into this world to do our work, to do something of importance, to do something that we believe in. It's still giving me goosebumps. I found her education program online, and at once I set up a fundraiser to pull it off, as we had no money to make it happen. So, for the first time in 3.5 years, I spoke my truth in regards to my birth trauma. And friends from near and far supported my cause to educate myself to help postpartum women. After sending the money, a couple of weeks after, I sat and asked my father and my grandmother for guidance. I didn't want to do yet another thing to fill a void or to stumble about into something mind-oriented, an idea or concept that was not rooted in something else. I asked for guidance and I received a clear message from within, in my heart, to start the path. The course has provided me with so many resources. It has confirmed my feelings and my experiences being pregnant and birthing and becoming a mother. It has lit my fire, reconnected me with my root, my sexuality, my husband, my daughter, and keeps doing so. This work of reconnecting with the pelvic bowl is really fundamental. I remember a few years back hearing of women working energetically this way and finding it like crazy, airy, bogus. But I really have to let you all know that what we give energy to is what will grow, and all parts of our being is interconnected. By not giving any energy to the base, the root of you, to your creation, you are removing yourself from your very creative earthly potential. As a woman, your root is where life starts. It is where you feel pleasure. It is where you bleed. It is the point of your essence connecting with mother's essence. By simply sitting and holding your vagina, you are giving attention and love to a part of a woman's body that has been suppressed for centuries. I beg you, just try it. Hey everyone, make sure that you listen to the very end of this episode, as Rochelle has gifted a song for us. And here, everyone, is Rochelle's bio. Rochelle Garcia Saliga is a mother, wife, and midwife, and has been working in the realms of holistic women's health for the past 17 years.
Rochelle is the creator and director of Innate Postpartum Care Trainings, postpartum wellness trainings for birth and health care providers worldwide. Innate's trainings provide a comprehensive framework of both maternal postpartum needs and the biological imperative of community support for the actualization of maternal wellness. Rochelle works from the perspective that maternal health is foundational to humanity's health, and that when we center mothers, we have a clear map to collective thriving health. She is the co-founder of Starseed Root School and of Traditional Healing, a re-villaging project in northern New Mexico in the United States. And lastly, as an intro for today's episode, I will read to you a poem written by my fellow Innate student and counseling partner, Jazz Kostopoulos, which she shared with us on our last class together. Thank you, Jazz, for allowing me to share this with the world. Dear woman, ceremony and ritual are my birthright. Joy and pleasure are my birthright. Divine woman I am. Divine mother I am. Divine lover I am. Divine sister I am. Divine daughter I am. Divine shapeshifter I am. Medicine woman, I am. Behold my power. Behold my beauty. Behold my grace. Behold, my dear. This life is yours for the taking, for the chanting, for the dancing, for the praying, for the offering, for the holding and releasing. Make love to the mystery that you are. Unfold, unveil, unravel. Disseminate, gestate, crack open. Remember, dear woman, remember. Mujer venado eres tú. Thick, bloody, juicy roots embrace the mother. Your skirt of moss and stars embrace the mother. Vibrant, ever-pulsing, wild heart, Emotol dwells here, where you feel it all. Let it be your power. Hollow bone you are, feel it all, embrace it all, release it all. The medicine is the alchemy of remembrance. From your head stem the antlers that hold the wisdom, the vision, the divine. You, Mujer Venado. The fear of being haunted has silenced you enough. Emerge from the shadows. Vulnerability and power are lovers. Reveal yourself. In glory, in grace. You must be willing to die in order to birth, dear woman. Es la hora sagrada del alumbramiento, querida mujer venado. So, Rochelle, welcome to iMother Podcast. I'm very happy to have you on.
And I'm really happy to be here.
So I've been attending your class now. I think it's for like 11 classes for the Innate Postpartum Care Certification. And I've been listening to you and it's been fueling me. And I'm very happy to have you here and talk to you one-on-one.
Or actually, one on with the world. So first off, I'd just like to invite you to share a bit about your journey into the work of postpartum care and why you are in that work.
Well, I should say that, like, you know, my journey into postpartum care comes from midwifery and from what I would call like a framework of traditional midwifery or authentic midwifery. And when I say those words, I'm not referring necessarily or only to midwifery as traditional midwifery through a specific cultural lineage and transmission, but traditional midwifery as it feels in my bones is really the same around the world. And it is centering mothers, it is centering families, it is mother as expert, midwife as caretaker and protector of our innate physiologic design. So I feel and call myself a traditional midwife within that container. And I came into midwifery from political activism because in, you know, my late teens, my early 20s, like I was the one on the bullhorn in the streets, you know, leading protests and this kind of thing. And when I got to be about 22 years old, I realized that I did not want to spend my limited amount of life energy fighting against a system that I don't believe in. It just stopped making sense to me. And I realized at that point in time that I wanted to spend my limited amount of life energy, lifetime on this planet, creating that which I do believe in. And so I really had a big shift at that time in my life. And that's really what led me into midwifery. And then, you know, from when I was 22 to 30, that was my time of apprenticeship to midwifery. And I came into midwifery through traditional apprenticeship route. I worked probably with a total of like 17 different midwives. I didn't go to midwifery school. I did a lot of self-study. And then at the end of, you know, when I felt I was done, you know, and I had fulfilled kind of certain requirements for this national standard in the United States. That's not a legal thing. It's more just like a certificate. I sat for my examinations and passed them. So then, you know, that was my entryway into midwifery. And the postpartum care piece really came because coming, you know, I lived for a long time in Mexico. My husband's from Mexico. And as we came back into the United States and I became a mother myself, it was this just complete deficiency in the postpartum period that hadn't even been part of my conscious awareness, honestly, until, I don't really know until how I can even name it, until I became consciously aware of it. You know, it was like in Mexico and most of my midwifery experience, postpartum care and that understanding was just like a known, a given in much of it, not in like a romanticized kind of way, but in just like a really basic human, well, of course, you're going to take care of the mother who had a baby because she just had a baby, you know? Mm-hmm. So of course, you know, and then when I started tapping in, you know, again, to the collective conscious in the United States as a new mom myself, I was like, what the hell is going on here? You know, I hadn't even oriented to how deficient and fractured even midwifery care is in the modern world. I guess I can say it like that. Like it hadn't become part of my conscious awareness of the fractures even within midwifery. Mm-hmm. So then I got really pissed off, you know, and I was like, what the hell, you know, like what, where is this missing piece? I don't understand how people are understanding the importance of pregnancy care and home birth. And then there's just like nothing in the postpartum time. Like it was incongruent to me. And so I felt really pissed off about it. I can run a lot of anger and rage through my system. And then in my pissed offness, I was like, you know, this thing of someone's got to do something. And then I realized, oh, I have to do something because I'm the one who has the charge. And that's how I feel like the purpose of our anger is actually like what I feel angry about doesn't necessarily mean what the next person's going to feel angry about, what you're going to feel angry about. And then the flip side of anger, I think, is our charge as to what our, because the flip side of anger is creation. And so, then I was like, I just have to do something about it, you know? And it came at a time in my life where it coincided, like that understanding of things coincided with my own journey, my spiritual journey as a person and as a mother. And taking, how can I say, taking full responsibility for who I am and my own power. And a deeper step into my personal authority, and the stopping of relegating, you know, my responsibilities and my power to other people, and assuming my responsibilities and my power, and that really coincided for me with this time that I really stepped into postpartum care work. And so, out of that confluence of the postpartum piece and my own personal journey was birthed innate postpartum care.
Hmm. And I understand that this, you know, this must have been like quite a long journey, because you've collected information and, you know, grounded into all these practices. How did that like happen for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, I got pissed off and I was like, someone's going to do something. And it really happened because at that time I was doing hands in care. I was doing like one-on-one work with moms, with women in my community. And I shouldn't say moms, so just with women in general. And I thought, oh, well, this would really be amazing for postpartum care, you mm-hmm. know, and I had like a busy practice. And so then I said, so then I started talking about my work, but within this framework of postpartum care, like this is what we should all be having for the postpartum period. And all of these women who came to see me and all the midwives who I knew, it was like, there was no response. There was like another void. And again, I didn't understand. It was like disorienting to me because like I had a full practice. It wasn't like I was having to work really hard to have a full, like I just had a full practice. And I was well networked into my community. So I didn't understand when there was no like feedback to this large home birth community. I'm like, oh, and everyone, there is no, nothing, void. And I didn't understand really. I was like, well, what is that about? And then I realized that, oh, that's about because nobody even understands the importance of this for postpartum care. Like there's not even the understanding. And so then my thought was, well, how do you cultivate an understanding? You have to cultivate an understanding through education. And so then I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess that's what I have to do then. Like I have to create some form of education in order to cultivate the understanding for what's not understood, you know? And so then I thought, okay, well, I'll do a one day thing, you know? and so I like made up this one day thing that I hadn't even yet created. And I put it out on Facebook at the time and I had like so much response. I mean, I had a lot of response really fast. I had this like full class and I was like, oh, I really better create this thing now. Cause now there's like all these people who want to come, you know, I had like 30 people register and like immediately. And so I was like, okay, I have to, like, from all over, right? Because I was based in Oregon in the United States. And people were, like, signing up for this thing from out of state. And I was like, what in the world? And so then I was like, well, I really better focus and create this one-day thing now, you know? So let's see, that was in 2015. And God, what month did I think I said that I was going to do it in December. I think that I said that I would like the first class would be in December and I had put it out to the world, let's say in like, you know, September. So I was like, okay, well, I have like 3 months to get this one day thing together. And so as I like sat down, which was, you know, during my daughter's nap times and at bedtime, you know, she's like 4 or 5 then. And I'm mapping out this class, you know, as the months were going by, I was like, I don't think I can fit this into one day, you know? And then at some point in time, you know, I had to just decide. And I was like, well, can I cancel a class that I already put out there? And I was like, well, I have to. I mean, I don't even know what this thing is yet. And it's for sure doesn't fit into one day. So I just wrote to all these people who had registered. And I was like, this is way more than one day. I don't really know what it's growing into yet, but I can either refund you your money or you can wait until I know what this is. Hmm. And most of them were like, no, I'll wait, you know? So then I gave myself a timeline and I was like, by May 2016, you know, I have to be done with this, whatever this is. So by the time I was done with this, you know, when I first started, it was a 4-day intensive, right? So like 8 hours a day for 4 days. And I had 32 people in my first class that I ever taught who came from all over, you know, and like I wrote a book is what came out of this. And then I sat down to teach this thing. But like, where did all that information come from is like the foundation, I would say, to where that all that information comes from is that I look at postpartum traditions, okay? So whether the tradition comes from Mexico or China or Morocco or Russia or wherever, you know, and look at what is the postpartum tradition teaching, okay? And as I started to look at that and just map it out, there's similarities, right, in all postpartum traditions. It doesn't matter really what the cultural context is, but there's overlapping guiding principles of every postpartum tradition. And so the way that I've mapped that out, right, as like a translation, is that in every postpartum tradition that I've learned about, there is an extended resting period after birth. Okay. In every postpartum tradition I've learned about, there is body work for the mom after birth. In every postpartum tradition I've learned about, there's certain kind of foods that are prescribed for a mom after birth. In every postpartum tradition I've learned about, there's always warmth as like a prescriptive medicine, let's say, for the postpartum mom. And then all of those four pieces or those four pillars, how I think about them, can only exist within a context of community, okay? Because no postpartum care can happen in the void of the nuclear family or the single motherhood or, you know, these modern day configurations that we're in. So postpartum care is contingent upon community support. So I just started mapping it out like that. And then when I started looking at, well, why, right? It's just asking why is rest a cross-cultural postpartum prescription? Why is it important to eat certain foods after birth? Why do we need body work after birth? Why do we need warmth after birth? And as I just kept asking the why, I would do research into medical textbooks and midwifery textbooks and research into traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and rememberings of what I had seen and felt and learned in working with traditional midwives in Mexico, and then pulling out bone and blood memory from myself, you know? So really what I think about in terms of the postpartum piece and like innate postpartum care, it's like a translation of our physiologic design, of our physiologic needs as postpartum mothers. And that's the same no matter what culture we belong to, no matter what our lineage is, because our physiology is the same if we're from Russia or if we're from Mexico. And so it is the remembrance of our physiologic needs to create and fulfill excellent health on all levels in all dimensions, which I believe is our birthright.
So how do you see this work? Like, how do you see this help women? What are the experiences of the women that try the different therapies and modules?
I mean, you know, at this point, like, I'm not working with moms one-on-one. Like, my work, right, goes into those who are taking innate training and like the sustenance and the maintenance of that. But I would say that like the most impactful piece, like, when I do talk with moms, like, and do work with moms one-on-one, and like for innate students who are working in their communities is really the most simple. It's really less to do about applications of, you know, hands-on therapy. And it really has to do with the recognition of the importance of community. Okay. And the orienting to, getting out, stripping away illusions, okay, and orienting to reality. And what I mean when I say that is, like, I would say most modern mothers are in some kind of internalized process, especially when, you know, babies are young, of like, what is wrong with me? And why am I so exhausted? And why do I feel so overwhelmed? And why do I not have time to do this? And that, you know, and it's this constant, you know, it's like just trying to keep your head above the water so that you don't drown. I would say that is the most common state of modern mothers. Clearly not everyone, okay, but the majority, the vast majority, I would say, is like perpetual overwhelm and exhaustion. And the internalized experience of the overwhelm and exhaustion is, what is wrong with me? And so when there's an orientation to, nothing's wrong with you, mom, you're exhausted. You are exhausted because you are doing the work of an entire village, and it is dysfunctional. And you can never do the work of an entire village because you are one person. And when that orientation shifts from what is wrong with me, there's something wrong with me for not being able to do this, right? To, oh, nothing's actually wrong with me. I'm having a normal, healthy response to a collective that is so dysfunctional. I mean, we are living in such a dysfunctional collective, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, we're in two different countries right now, and I can say that the collective is a collective, and it's dysfunctional because the collective has forgotten how to center mothers as life givers. And that is the same no matter what place we are on earth, if we're living within a modernized context. I would say that the only people who are not living like that at this time are people who are living in intact indigenous ways of life. Okay. So I would say that the most profound piece is this orientation, because our orientation is really our belief system, and our belief system is foundational to everything in our life. Our belief system is foundational to our health. And so when we are oriented in a belief system of what is wrong with me, it perpetuates sickness and disease. And when we are oriented in a way of nothing is wrong with me, I am healthy. And as a healthy person, I am having a response to a dysfunctional collective. It takes us out of victim mode, and it puts us in the seat of agents of change in our own life. And once we're there, then we can just really start to create change, you know, but it's that whole process. And I would say, like, you know, if I had to say, what is that one thing? That is the one thing that is foundational to innate training. And that's what I see as having the biggest rippling effect.
Yeah. It's like, the more you get into really seeing how women are systematically told that, you know, the feeling of not being good enough or being in pain, or, you know, that this is the normality, even, you know, from when we're young, you know, with menstruation, and, you know, we're just constantly told that we're never good enough, like, and it's always our fault. It's really scary almost. And it's also very clear when you look in, you know, back into generations of horrific history in regards to women. And it's, you can't switch that off. It's like something that you carry with you, and that carries within this story of today, you know?
absolutely. I mean, it's like we're dealing with massive amounts of intergenerational trauma. And I would say that, like, you know, all of us as adults at this time that we're living is a time of repair. You know, we are repairing thousands of years of history that is seeped in darkness, you know.
Yeah, it's...
We got a little work to do this time around.
That's the work we do. So, Rochelle, can you speak a bit about what is postpartum care? You mentioned some of the modalities, but can you deepen into it a bit?
Mm-hmm. So the extended resting period after birth, that is the acknowledgement that we just grew a human. And then we birth the human, and that then we continue to grow the human through our body, through breast milk. And it's not, you know, business as usual. I mean, this is the whole thing, right? Living within a world that is based on patriarchal constructs, that within our female bodies, like, we're not actually ever static, right? Like, not within a month. Because we have our infradian rhythms, it's called, like our monthly menstrual cycle. And, you know, then we have that going on our fertile years backed on either end by menarche and menopause. And then we have the childbearing continuum, and it's the acknowledgement that it is a super resource intensive experience to grow human life and birth human life. And so, we are in a depleted, deficient state afterwards, not as something that's inferior, but just an acknowledgement that in the same way, like an apple tree is not going to always be bearing apples, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to have its time of growth, you know, it's growing the apples, and then it's going to have its time of rest. And so the growth is pregnancy, right? And let's say that's summertime, and the rest is winter. Postpartum is a winter time. You can't just keep going about life as usual. It's the surest recipe for dysfunction and disease. So rest is a foundational piece of the recalibration of what's required to grow human life. So it's really resource intensive to grow human life. So then it's a resource intensive receiving that needs to happen after giving. So body work, I mean, this is an acknowledgement, you know, if you look at any of the cool kind of graphics that exist now of like what happens within a mother's body while she's pregnant and the reconfiguration really of her entire system, our systems need support in going back to their pre-pregnant functions after birth. You know, anything from uterine massage, right, to the necessity of pelvic care and intravaginal work, to abdominal massage for our digestive tract, to full body massage to move our lymphatic system and our circulatory system as we're resting. So that's the body work. Why do we need warmth? We need warmth because we are in the postpartum time in a cold and deficient state. Okay, we could say pregnancy, birth is like heat and excess. Postpartum time is cold and deficient. We are sharing our warmth with our babies. We're producing breast milk, which is made from the same substrate as blood. You know, if you had an ongoing loss of blood, it wouldn't occur to someone to like, you know, give that person ice water or put a fan on them as they were losing blood. If someone had an ongoing loss of blood, we would want to keep them warm, right? Mm-hmm. There's an acknowledgement of like blood as a loss of heat, vital life energy. So we have Lochia, the postpartum bleeding. We are the production of breast milk. We're sharing our heat with our newborn babies who can't regulate their own body temperature until they're between 5 to 9 months old. So we need warmth for our healing after birth. You know, in traditional Chinese medicine, it said that life does not exist without heat and moisture. So warmth is really one of the primary foundational postpartum medicines cross-culturally. And then we have certain kinds of food after birth, and cross-culturally, it's always warm in nature, warm in temperature, easy to digest, nutrient dense foods after birth. So again, clearly, like, what those foods are going to be are going to be dependent upon the place, right? Because what's available and accessible to someone who's living in Ecuador is going to be different than what's available and accessible to someone who's living in Alaska, let's say. But the prescriptive qualities are the same, because our digestive system in the postpartum time is not just like, I don't want to say normal because that's not the right language. It's not the digestive system of someone who has not just had a baby. It's not the digestive system of a man. It's not the digestive system of a postmenopausal woman. It's the digestive system of a woman who just grew life and birthed life through her body. And it has specific needs. It needs food that can pass through the body easily. It needs food that are not going to occupy a lot of work for digestive purposes, because that energy needs to go into mother's healing. It needs to go into the quality of her breast milk production. That mother needs so much nutrition as the body shifts from gestation to lactation. It's like, how do we put back into the body all that was lost? Not lost, I guess, but given to our babies through the process of pregnancy and birth. So food is a foundational piece. And then, you know, all of those four pillars rest upon the foundation of community, because none of those things can happen without community. Like, how can a postpartum mom rest if someone's not cooking for her? How can she receive body work if there's no one to offer her body work, if there's not the resources to pay for body work, if, you know, the community conditions aren't met? How can that mom receive warming therapies if there's no one to offer the mom warming therapies? How can that mom rest again if she has older children? Who's going to take care of the older children while she is resting? And it's this delusional modern thinking that, you know, sometimes moms will be like, oh, my husband, my partner, my partner will do all of those things. And it's like, you know, cool, like, our partners absolutely should be doing that. That's right order, right? Like, mother and baby as dyad and father or partner as, you know, kind of protector or holder of that dyad. And the dad takes care of the baby by taking care of mom. Like, that is right order. But dad or partner, like, that's one person. He's not a community, you know, and this work has always been done by community. So it's not about like one person. It's about really centering the importance of the creation of community support. Like, and that needs to happen prenatally, right? Like, these things need to be things that we're cultivating in our normal lives. And if they're not present for us in our normal lives, you know, prior to the arrival of pregnancy, then I would say, like, that is the most important thing to be doing in our prenatal time.
I guess it's a like a challenging thing for pregnant women to fathom the amount of work that you're going to be moving into. Because I remember, like, because I met, you know, Sister Morningstar, who's a traditional midwife, when I was in the beginning of my pregnancy. And she was telling me about this, you know, you really need to hook up with someone who can offer you, you know, help, you know, for 8 weeks, or, you know, or maybe she said less, but anyway, something like that. And I was like, yeah, you know, I have my husband, and, you know, and I don't think, you know, it's, even though I was reflecting and thinking about so many aspects of the whole scenario, it's like so difficult in our society to ask someone for that much amount of time, because we don't have a community that is actually, you know, working in that way. So it takes a whole shift of the way we see it in like a collective way.
Yeah, I mean, it is, it's like reculturing. It is a whole shift, because like, everything in the modern world is set up to be the entire antithesis of what we're talking about. Like, the structures that we are all living in the modern world do not support this that we're talking about. And so it's to understand that the structures that we are living in the modern world do not support life.
Mm.
Right? So what is required to create optimal postpartum care is a restructuring in how we're living. So it's not like, you know, an easy task. It's not like, oh, mm-hmm. it requires big time shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I would say that, you know, why postpartum care as a part, an integral part of midwifery care, has kind of been left to the wayside for a long time. I mean, certainly it's not part of, like, you know, mainstream professionalized midwifery in the United States. I mean, sure, like, midwives do postpartum care, as in, you know, check up on the mom within that 6 weeks after birth. But in my trying to understand, why is it that it's like there's an understanding still of prenatal care and the understanding of the importance of labor and birth, but postpartum is kind of like over there in the void? And it's like, well, because, you know, pregnancy is like, you know, 40-ish weeks, right? Okay. And then even if a labor and birth is long, right, was it 4 days? And we can kind of keep going along with I don't want to say normal reality, because it's not normal, like dysfunctional. We can kind of go along with the dysfunctional reality in whatever way we want to call it. We want to call it patriarchy. We want to call it capitalism. We want to call it colonial bullshit, whatever we want to call it. I call it the death system. So within this death system, we can still kind of go with our life like normal, right? Like, do my life as normal. But then we have a baby. And then once we have a baby, we're postpartum for life. Mm-hmm. So it's really after we have our babies that we realize the, if we haven't realized prior, the complete dysfunctionality of the constructs of the modern way of life and how they are not supportive of mothers or families or life. So we can kind of ignore those things or sidestep those things, right, in pregnancy and labor and birth, because they're like these small bits in time. But you can't sidestep those things as a postpartum mother, which really is to say you can't sidestep those things as you enter into motherhood, because then it's just your new way of life and your new way of orientation and the unveiling of how the structures in which we're living aren't supportive of life. So it seems so like I don't know the right word, like postpartum care. But when you get to the roots of what's required for the reestablishment of postpartum care, we're talking about a restructuring of how we're living in a way that's actually aligned with life. That is not what is happening in our current reality.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, for myself, like, you know, like, one thing, if you had, like, if you, your birth experience, let's say, for sure, that's, you know, an important part of the story, but say you had a shitty birth, you know, or whatever birth, you're living in a postpartum, for, like you're saying, for the rest of your life, and how you deal with those few first years is going to be affecting you forever. And I'm just like, you know, the amount of time that I've spent myself on, like, searching for something that you don't know what is, because nobody has, there's like no vocabulary about it even, you know. And then even like people that work, you know, on with therapies and these things, there's like, there, it's not the, yeah, it's just very clear that everything that we do is like in like a patriarchal, it's like it's come out of like a patriarchal environment. So the feminine, or the yeah, let's call it the feminine aspect of health is missing. And it's, if there's one thing that you need becoming a mother, that's it, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, just going back to the, what you were talking about before, you know, like, you, before you had your baby, you know, and Sister Morningstar is saying, like, do these things. And and I will say that, like, cross-culturally, I think that's kind of the thing, right? Because you don't know what you don't know. Mm. And so even with, like, the community education series, right, that I created that innate providers then go teach. So it's, like, community-level education based upon this system of care, which is really, like, a framework of how do you create, maintain, sustain postpartum wellness that everybody is teaching, right, around the world in their respective communities. The majority of people who come to that class, as I'm told by innate providers, are second-time parents, right? Mm. Because first-time parents are certain that they don't need that, that they're fine, that my husband has 2 weeks off from work, and that is the postpartum plan, you know? And so people are like, okay. And it's the second-time parents who have gone through it the first time and know how ridiculous it is and how hellacious, not hellacious in the sense that, like, you know, not that they don't love their babies or they don't, you know, cherish their experience as parents, but that they were like drowning, you know, and trying to figure out what the hell was going on and why it was like that and how to get out of that. So it's the second time parents who are like, I will come. I want, I need this postpartum care class. And they come and take this class and they're so grateful, right? Because for the first time, they've been oriented towards what the hell has been actually going on, right, since the birth of their last baby, and how to prevent that experience from repeating itself, and how to actually create something beautiful, which is what it's meant to be, right? It's meant to be beautiful and joyous, and it doesn't mean that's like some, you know, delusional experience of like, oh, it's not hard. Well, yeah, things can be hard, but they can be hard and beautiful, you know? And so it's like, it's the understanding that if something's hard and it's just shitty, then it's just really a horrible experience. But if something's hard, but you're surrounded by beauty and warmth and nourishing foods, that's an exalting experience. You know, you come out of that, like, with that maturity, that joy and grief, you know, are often together, but it's beautiful. You know, you don't come out of the experience just like, you know, barely surviving. So it is this thing. And I mean, I have, you know, young friends, like we have this one friend in particular who comes around, and so I'm 21 this year, these mid-20s. And we were hanging out with them a little bit ago, and this coming to us, you know, he's kind of facing the July, and he says to me, but having a baby, that's going to be a piece of cake. And like, you sure? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I would really actually love. Are you there still? Because your video went away.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the connection got a bit shitty, so I turned off the video. That's
fine. And so I said, you sure about that? And he said, yeah. And I said, can I make a video of you? And I'll show you this video in a year from now, and we'll see if you still feel the same. And he thinks I'm joking. And I was like, I'm really not joking. Can I make a video? So I have a video on my phone of him telling me that it will be a piece of cake, parenting, you know? I was like, I'm going to show you that in a year and we'll check in, you know, because he, even though he knows us and trusts us and we're like mentors to him, he does not have the receptivity to receive what I could share. Me, like, I'm teaching innate postpartum care worldwide. Like, this is my thing. He is not, they are not receptive to that. What am I going to do? Nothing. You know, I feel like that's just what we have to go through often as humans. We have to fall flat on our face or go deep into our shithole, right? As I like to often call it, because people kind of laugh at that. Go deep into our shithole in order to figure out how to crawl ourselves out of the shithole.
Yeah, for sure. My God, I just had to tell you about this crazy, you know, I'm doing all these things, you know, the therapies, and then I'm loving the moksha treatment. And then I was laying in my bed doing the moksha, and then a few hours later, I'm going to the bathroom to take a shower, and I get out of the shower, and I'm like, fuck, what's going on with, you know, above my, like, in my pelvis, like, I'm touching my skin above my vagina, and I'm like, did I just, like, burn myself with the moksha, or what's going on? Because it feels like, my skin feels, like, totally different. And then I'm like, I'm talking to my husband, and I'm like, I don't know if I burned myself, or if I just suddenly realized that I can feel my skin after fucking 4 years. And it's the latter. So, you know, it's that, and that's how important just one thing like that can be in, and in your life, it's like totally life changing.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I mean, think about like how many women who have given birth and who have had hard birth experiences, who have never had that kind of care, and now are 30 years out from their birth. Mm-hmm. So they haven't felt their bodies or their pelvis in particular in 30 years. Mm. I mean, that's real. Mm. That I feel like is more common than not. And then what happens, you know, if we spend 30 years without actually being able to feel our pelvises? Mm. Well, what is our pelvis to us as women? It's like the seat of our power. Yeah. So what happens if we can't feel the seat of our power for the majority of our life? Mm. You know? So I think that's a really beautiful, like, experience you had, right? Because then, like, you're going to be able to not, it's not like just share, but to have the embodied experience of what you felt like before and after. Mm. You know? And what shifts for you? Because it's not going to just be a physical thing, right? Like, it's not ever just one level. It's like, then what are the rippling effects into the other levels?
Mm. Yeah, it's the whole, all of the things that we've been doing has, you know, because after my experience in birth and trauma, it's like this whole section of my body has been, you know, I've just created like a dissociation. So like, intimacy and like, you know, I used to be dancer, like I just couldn't relate anymore. And the biggest issue over a long period of time has been intimacy with my husband, you know? Mm-hmm. And then after doing these therapies, because touching and like sending love, you know, into my pelvis, it was like too much. But then doing these therapies of warming therapies, it was, it just, yeah, I can't even put it into words. You know, we, making love was all of a sudden like, oh my goodness, it's like pleasant. And it's like, yeah, I'm refueling, I'm getting energy, and it's lovely. And it's just like, man, you know, if someone just could have told me that 4 years ago, it's like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, like, the different therapies you've been doing since your daughter was born, but it's like, in order, I feel, for us to heal, I mean, as humans, it's like the healing work has to be body based, right? Mm. And unfortunately, what ends up happening, and I don't know that if this is you, but I know that this is true for a lot of modern moms, is that like after a really hard birth experience, or you know, maybe it's not even the birth experience that was hard, but the postpartum time is hard, right? Mm-hmm. And it's what gets end up labeled as like postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety or perinatal mood disorders. And all these moms end up in therapy, right? Mm-hmm. Because they want to do something. They know that they're not feeling right. So they go to a place where they feel like they can be potentially resourced, you know, a therapist. But like most therapists aren't trained in birth, in physiology, definitely mm. not. And then the importance of body-based approaches to mm. healing. Like, how can we heal from an experience that happened in and through our bodies if we're not going back in and through our bodies, right? So, like, we can't resolve a challenging birth experience in talk therapy, right? Mm. And so that's why these healing modalities, right, and all of the things that you're talking about are ancient technologies, right? Mm. It's the moxibustion, which is the burning of Chinese mugwort near to the skin, and vaginal steaming, and all these kinds of things. They are so simple, but they're so profound because it's body-based healing, right? So bring warmth into this area of the body, bring attention into this area of the body, bring kindness into this area of the body. And then it is the attention that we're putting and the attention and the intention that creates the healing. So it's like breathing life back into these areas of the body that are often forgotten. So I think you should like write about that, like a blog or something, because, you know, I know that there's so many women who are having similar experiences of just profound disconnection or disassociation with their bodies, and are looking of like what to do and where to start and like that.
Yeah, it's true. I'm going to take you up on that.
Yeah, I'll share it for you.
Cool.
So lastly, how does postpartum care affect women, or even how does not having postpartum care affect women long term?
I mean, we can just say that it affects everything. It affects everything if we do or do not have postpartum care. And I guess, you know, a simple way to understand it is that because most of the women who are going to listen to this, right, and for how many generations into the past, behind each one of those women we have our descendants in our mother line not had optimal birth experiences. By optimal, I mean just like physiologic, undisturbed birth experiences. And for how many generations has it been that we haven't had postpartum care, which is to say, for how many generations is it in our family lines that the women have not been supported? And when I ask that question, and I often ask that question when I'm teaching, you know, how many generations is it in your family line that the women have not been supported? And it's like, don't think about it. You just say whatever answer comes to your head. You know, the first time I did that, I got 7 generations. And usually when I ask that question, you know, people get anywhere from 4 generations to 50 generations to, you know, 100 generations back. It's been a lot of generations for most bloodlines that the women have not been supported. What is the effects when the women are not supported? Look at the world we're living in. This is the consequence of women not being supported. It is death and destruction. So that is the ultimate consequence of lack of postpartum care, which is to say lack of support for the women. What is the potentiality of women being supported optimally and postpartum care? It is new life on earth. It is a new way of life that actually supports life on earth.
Yeah, let's hope that's what we're seeing the beginning of.
It is what we're seeing the beginning of.
Rochelle, I could pick your brains for hours.
I could talk about these kind of things for hours.
I'm glad I still have many hours left to listen to your wisdom. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about this. It's so important. I hope many people listen and spread the word about this.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'll...
I don't think I've ever done an episode and felt so absolutely fueled and psyched after. I just love this work, and I truly, truly believe that supporting women is so deeply interconnected with nature's health and therefore humanity's health. That how we treat women and mothers is really a mirror of how we treat nature. Because the needs of a mother will always be individual, intuitive, and be needs of warmth and love, be needs of support, as opposite to needs of growth and linear thinking and patriarchy. Thank you, Rochelle, for reminding me of why I was born. And thank you, Jazz, for collecting my deer antlers and bones into words. As a free giveaway from Rochelle to all my listeners, you can check out her website at innatetraditions.com. I'll put the link in the show notes as it is long. Next week, I have for you another English-speaking guest named Emily Ruth. I heard Emily on Grief Growers Garden podcast about 1.5 years ago, recommended by my sister. When I heard her story, there was so many pieces of my own puzzle that shifted in me. Emily has a really strong story of inner wisdom and inner guidance. She will share with us about her birth losses, her births, and her healings. This will be the first time I talk with Emily, and I'm so happy to have her join the podcast. Abortions and birth losses are really such an enormous void in our society for mothers. The grief and the physical experience is something that we are taught to not linger with, as if the child, when it is not living, is of no value. I strongly believe that these women need our support. We need to speak up and speak loud and clear to each other and to the world about our wounds and experiences of loss. I once heard a woman tell her story about how she willingly birthed her dead child without any support except for friends. And I think that if a woman can find the courage and the strength to birth her dead child in her own home, I am sure we can all birth our live and thriving children with power too. Creating a world where we show young women what birth is, what it is to nurse, what it is to hold a crying baby, is the way for new generations to integrate the wisdom within. This is our work as mothers, to be who you are and show the world your being and your light. Don't be silenced. Be free. You can support my work with this podcast at www.patreon.com/imother. There's something about that slash that I can just never remember if it's a slash or if it's a dash or whatever it is. It always confuses me. Anyway, here you can contribute with a monthly gift of minimum 5 euros, and this support will enable me to keep doing this work. And by supporting, you will also be able to win free giveaways and other juicy offerings from me and my guests. Thank you for listening, and thank you for becoming a patron. You can also find me on Instagram at iMother and on Facebook at iMother Podcast. Join the community and share the wisdom. Thank you so much for listening. This song came to me from my elder, Donna Maria Camps, White Cloud. And it came to Maria from the Little Brave family of South Dakota, sung with permission. And this song is about calling everybody, all of humanity, back to the fire, back to the sacred fire, which is part of all of our lineages. Wene yo wana ho yana hi yo wana ho ina he ne yana hi yo wana ho ina he ne Wene yo wana ho yana hi yo wana ho ina he ne yana hi yo wana ho ina he ne Wene yo wana ho yana hi yo wana ho ina he ne Aya nahi o wana ho e na he nehi o e nei o wana ho. Ya nahi o wana ho e na he nei o e.
Aya nahi o ana hoe na he nehi, anahi o ana hoe na he nehi. Wene o ana hoe anahi o ana hoe na he nehi. Aya nahi o ana hoe na he nehi o wei.